Hello, my name is Denise, and I am a recovering compulsive overeater, and I'd like to welcome you to our sponsorship speaker series. I'd like to thank all of our speakers, committee members, and volunteers who have done great service to make this happen. The speakers are being recorded, and copies will be available in the future. I would now like to introduce Don from Westchester, New York, who is going to speak on his experience with sponsoring and give us why we sponsor, preparing yourself, and getting started sponsoring.
Okay, thanks, Denise. Hi, everybody. My name is Don. I'm a compulsive eater. I have handouts, and about 90% of everything that I'm going to say, well, 75%, is going to be here. So we're going to reference this. So if I could have some volunteers to...
Yes, I'll take care of it.
Thank you. Thank you. So you will need those. In the meantime, while those are being handed out, I'll just briefly qualify. I've been around OA since 1982. January 26, 1982. Count my abstinence from June 1, 1984. So about 32 years coming up in June. Maintaining about 180, 185 pound weight loss now for about 30 years. So I'm one of those that came and never left. I was in deep dark hole when I came. Suicidal. 30 days before my first OA meeting, I had climbed on a bridge across the Hudson in the middle of the night on Christmas night, Christmas Eve, Christmas night, 1981. And I did not jump. I do not remember coming off of that bridge, though. That's the interesting God story, which is interesting for an atheist. But I do not remember coming off of that bridge. I remember writing all the notes, doing all the preparation, stealing out of the house at 3 a.m. in the morning. Nobody knew I was gone. Neither of the children nor my wife, and driving to the bridge, parking at the side, walking to the center and climbing up. Do not remember coming down. I remember standing there. I can remember the only thing I could see, it was snowing. I could see the light of a tugboat coming down the river. And that was it. So one step and it was over. I had obsessed on suicide for many years, and the bridge was the cleanest in my humble, insane opinion, cleanest way to do it, the best interest of my wife and kids, because there would be no body left. I would be gone, I'd be washed out to sea, and they wouldn't have to go through all that stuff of finding the gunshot wounds or the knives or the pills or the whatever. So I came down, I did go home, nobody knew about it. My wife didn't even know I was gone, and my kids didn't know I was gone. 30 days later, I accidentally stumbled into an OA meeting. It was actually in a rehab in North Carolina. I had insanely thought, well, maybe if my employer said I needed to take some time off, they gave me a medical leave, I went to this rehab, and I thought, well, if I go there and lose some weight, maybe I'll get up enough nerve to go ahead and finish the suicide. Yes, it was insane. And so I reported there on Sunday, January 25. And the next day they said, go to room 101 tonight at 7:30. And I said, why? And they said, just go. And so I went to that room, and there was 10 women and me. This is what was called a fat farm in those days. And 10 women and me, and I sat there and I listened. And I thought they were all totally, totally insane. And after the meeting, I went up to the oldest woman in the room. Now, I was 41 years old. The oldest woman in the room probably was maybe 60, right? So I look at age a little differently today, but that was the oldest woman in the room. And I said, look, I have a question. I don't get it. I said, all I heard was you people talking about abstinence, abstinence, abstinence. And I said, I don't understand what sex has to do with losing weight. True story. It's also a true story that she said, the first time I heard it, I've heard it a zillion times since then, she said, keep coming back. Now, I was in a rehab, I didn't have any choice. But it was the next day that they put a big book in my hand, which is in my briefcase there. And I still have my original big book from 1982. And it's been rebound twice. You know, at some point, I just cannot get a new one that doesn't have all those notes in the margins and the multiple colors. There's blues and yellows and pinks and underlines and boxes and whatever. But this is a big book meeting, so I know you know what I'm talking about. So I still have that big book, and then they put other things in my hands. In those days, of course, there was only the AA 12 and 12. We didn't have OA 12 and 12 or any really substantial any OA literature. So I learned the program then. I started losing the weight, did some experimenting, of course. I didn't know how to binge. I didn't know what binging was. I was a grazer. I had gotten to just about 400 pounds grazing. My life story was basically up and down, up and down. This is a familiar stair step, lose 50, gain 75, lose 100, gain 150, etc. And I had gone, I had lost recently before this, maybe 100 and something, and I was starting back up again, and that's when I decided to do away with myself. So my life was pretty messed up. So I came to the program grossly obese, suicidal, and an atheist, hardcore, bitter, angry atheist from the deep south, hardcore conservative, right-wing religion area, where I was convinced by the time I was 5 or 6 years old that I was doomed and going to hell. So atheist, grossly obese, and suicidal. Other than that, I had everything going for me. So that's the beginnings, and here I still am. OA saved my life, and I'm grateful for that. And that's why I've been doing service for a long time. I retired in 97. I've basically been doing full service, full-time service for OA since then. At all levels, I'm involved at all levels of the program. I've been chair of 5 different intergroups since 97 because we've moved around because of my wife's employment. So we keep moving around, and I keep becoming intergroup chair. So most recently, I've been the Westchester United Intergroup chair. For 4 years, and 4 years was the end of the term, so they kicked me out a couple of months ago, so I'm no longer in a group chair there. I've been doing a lot of service, as I said, at all levels. I'm one of the 9 persons involved in rewriting the OA 12 and 12 right now. We've been working on that for the last 18 months. It's going to roll out for next year's WSBC. So some substantial changes in there, hopefully a little bit more tighter, a little bit more big book oriented, although it doesn't say big book, but when you read it, it's gonna be a little more clear on addiction and so forth. So that's basically my story. OA saved my life, and I continue to give service, which includes sponsorship, do whatever I can to be of use. You know, my basis of my life today is love and service, as Dr. Bob said. Love and service, love and service. Thinking always of how can I be of use. So when I got asked to come down here, of course, you know, why not? All right, I want to talk about sponsorship today. What I thought I would do is to give you the exact same thing that we do with new sponsors. We started a new sponsor training program 3 years ago. But behind that was, one was a newcomer retention and shortage of sponsors. It's now 3 years later, and we have a lot more sponsors. We have some of our meetings that have hope lines. So Monday night, for example, in the Mount Kisco meeting, we have sponsors stand up. There was 22 sponsors that stood up there, right? And we identify weight and abstinence as you go across the line. And somebody was adding up after the meeting who said, do you realize that was 2,000 pounds that we just talked about? So that's the kind of thing that really inspires newcomers. So we definitely have more sponsors now because of this new sponsor training program, and we definitely have better newcomer retention. As you'll see as we go through this process, that it's all about helping the newcomers understand quickly what we're about, what the disease is about, and work through those first 3 steps. Because if you do that, then they're going to stick around. Too many newcomers come in, kind of wander around, not sure what's going on. Somebody says, here, read the doctor's opinion, and the doctor's opinion is total bewilderment to a newcomer. They have no idea. But you're going to see, by the time we ask them to look at doctor's opinion, they totally understand the disease, and they're going to understand exactly what the heck is being talked about there by Dr. Silkworth. So, all right, let's get started. I think I've said what's on this introductory pages. Oh, I should stay here because of the microphone, sorry. This is the exact same thing, as I said, we do for new sponsors. It's a methodical process to introduce newcomers to OA, to help them understand the nature of the disease, and to help them develop a food plan for themselves, not a diet. but the right thing for their body that eliminates their binge foods and gets them to a healthy body weight. This all started, as I said, because of our concern for the health of OA, which is not so good, if any of you understand the long range, what's going on in OA. Newcomer retention is bad. Actual personal recovery is much, much lower percentage-wise than it was 20 years ago. So we have some problems, and this is about working on that. So this new sponsor session, is about helping newcomers get abstinent and get through the first three steps only. So that's really all I'm going to talk about, is the first three steps today. This provides the solid foundation on which the 4 to 9 personality change steps can be built. If they haven't really accepted that they have a disease, if they haven't really said, all right, I give up, and then in step three, made the decision to, all right, I give up, I'm turning myself over to the metaphorical OA hospital, what do I do? Also known as 4 through 9, right? That's what we're asking them to do. Once they've done that, then they're in good shape. But if they're not ready to do that, then they may end up in that chronic relapse thing that we have so much of in OA. Or they drop out, and we see them 6 months later. That's the familiar, 6 months later, or maybe a year later. So they keep coming back, but they never quite get enough to hold them and help them get started. So this process is a simple process, as you will see. We use only existing OA and AA literature, especially the big book in the OA 12 and 12. All right, look at the first page of your handout. Now, this is exactly what we give to the new sponsors. When I sit down with them, we go through, and I'm just going to basically treat you all as brand new sponsors, right? You have just finished your first three steps in what we're doing here. You finished your first three steps, you're working on your fourth, and you're abstinent. So your sponsor tells you, go to sponsor training. So now we're preparing you to work with a newcomer who's coming in. All right, so first page, you see the materials that we're using. Guide for sponsors. Mayor, how many people have studied this or read this? Okay, that's the usual number. Very few. Okay, one of the best pieces of unread literature in all of OA. And we have 76 pieces of literature, by the way, in case you didn't know. I used to chair the literature committee, so I know the counts, right? Sponsoring through the steps. How many have seen this one? Sponsoring through the steps. It's very big book oriented. All right, a few of you, but not many. Another piece of good literature, recently updated. Plan of eating pamphlet. Probably everybody knows the plan of eating pamphlet. This is one of the things in the newcomer, right? Dignity of choice, which we brought back in 2000. Abolished since 87 and brought back in 2000. So you have six food plans in here that people have found successful, one of which is Gray Sheet. The AA Big Book, the OA and AA 12 and 12, the OA Workbook as one option. And the OA Step 4 Guide. Now, we're not talking about the four-step guide, but we just mentioned this to people. Right, so not too many people have seen this or worked with this either, particularly a big book meeting, I understand. The 15 questions, which you will find in this pamphlet we're going to look at, in this handout, 15 questions, it's in every newcomer pamphlet. And developing a plan of eating that's in here, we're going to talk about that, and a slip inventory. Okay, in the box you'll see on the first page, it says first things first. Before doing anything, a new sponsor needs to study the pamphlets that I have listed here. Guide for sponsors, sponsoring through the steps, plan of eating, dignity of choice, and OA's 15 questions, because you're going to be using these with the newcomer, with the new person, to help them understand the nature of the disease. So you better get really familiar with those to start with. All right, general thoughts on getting newcomers started. Set a time to talk or meet, obviously. Set expectations in that first conversation. The most critical thing you can do when talking to a new person is set the expectations. Help them understand what it is that you're going to be asking them to do. Talk about being honest and the fact that lying, trying to make an impression, doing a facade, all that is absolutely worthless. And they will know this intuitively because you've probably already talked to them about yourself and your story, right? Because that's the first thing we do, as Chapter 7 clearly points out. We tell them our story. We don't just sit there and listen to their whining. We tell them why we're here and what OA did for us. And then they get interested because they identify. So honesty, daily scheduled calls, timeliness, you know, you have a schedule, and people don't realize this, but if you say, okay, we'll talk tomorrow morning at 7:30, they need to understand that you have a schedule, and you may be talking to somebody else at 7 o'clock or somebody else at 8 o'clock, or you have to go get your kids to this, or you got to do this. So they need to understand that they need to be timely. Now this, of course, is part of the structure that they're going to eventually begin to learn. That's a big part of recovery. You know, recovery is about putting structure and discipline into our lives, as opposed to the wandering around with spontaneous living and spontaneous eating, which many of us like to do, right? Eat whatever you want, whenever you want, etc. According to our feelings, and of course our feelings we can't trust, but that's the addiction cycle, that's another story. The assignments that you're going to be telling, that you're going to be asking them to read certain things, and to write and to talk to you about them. In other words, you're going to be studying, reading and writing, and you'll be studying the nature of the problem. So set the expectations. Point three, talk every day. Share your experience with getting honest with the food. The first thing we have them do in Westchester is to view the newcomer's orientation video. How many of you have seen that newcomer orientation video? Probably not many. If you go into our website, is it on here? Yeah. OAHelps.org. The address is on there. Go and look at it. 8.5 minutes of introduction to OA, the addiction cycle, and the disease. I think you will find it very useful. Newcomers, our newcomers, are finding it very useful, as well as a lot of oldcomers. Okay, so that's the start. And then we ask them to read the pamphlets in the newcomers package, or look at them, because we're going to give them further assignments. Begin the first call by carefully discussing the 15 questions with them. All right. What we're doing here is to begin to help them understand the nature of this disease. They don't know it's a disease. They don't know quite what's going on. So you've got to help them raise their awareness that something serious is going on. If it is, it may not be. You may not be a person that has our problem. So the first conversation will be to go through the 15 questions. Now in your package, look at the 15 questions on page 4. We'll come back to where we were, but page 4. There you see the 15 questions. Go through these questions and talk to them in your first conversation. By the way, this could be a face-to-face meeting, however you set it up. And you want them to answer these questions. They don't necessarily have to write on them, but you want to hear their answers. You want to think about it. Do I eat when I'm not hungry, or not eat when my body needs nourishment? Do I go on eating binges for no apparent reasons? Do I have feelings of guilt, etc.? And on down. There's no hurry here. You want them to begin thinking and begin putting into words something that they may not have been able to put into words before. And that's what these questions do. Again, you're raising awareness in them to see that they have a problem or they don't have a problem. And most people that come to us, when they go through here, will determine that they have a problem. But not everybody. But most of us, would, if we went through these when we came in this door, we probably would answer 13 out of 15 yes. But you don't want a simple yes, you want them to elaborate. Talk about it, right? So that's the 15 questions. That's the number one thing to do. All right, back to the front page, or page one. After completing, the next thing we want them to do is then start studying the plan of eating pamphlet. So tell them they have this pamphlet. They got it in their newcomer package. Tell them we're going to go through this and we're going to study this. So ask them to read the first couple of pages for the next phone call, and then to highlight if they want or underline what jumped out at them, right? So now they call up, you say, all right, let's go through the pamphlet. See what they had to say, and then you go back and you add in things that you may want to point out. You may even, if you want to, just read it, however. Again, part of the beginning to understand the disease, because the assumption underlying everything I'm saying is that if you truly, truly understand the nature of the disease, the solution becomes obvious. If you truly understand that you've got something that looks like, sounds like, feels like a duck, also known as an addiction, then the only obvious thing to do is, all right, I need to stop eating those things that cause this craziness. Then the only question becomes, how? Right? That's what we want them to ask. But we have to get them there first. So this is part of it. So go through this. Excellent, excellent pamphlet. I'm smiling because I wrote it. But it hasn't been changed since I wrote it in 1997. So it has not been changed. So that's a good thing. So this is, it's general, but it answers a lot of questions, and you can help them begin to understand the disease, right? Then following that, we're going to do the same thing with dignity of choice. We're only going to go through two-thirds of the way through here. In the dignity of choice now, it's starting to get a little more specific. It quotes some things in here out of Plan of Eating, but it begins to go into, do I have a choice of plans? Now remember, at this point, you haven't set up a plan. You have not set up a plan. You may have shared what you do, they may have talked about things, but you have not set up with them jointly what it is that they're going to do. You eventually want them to get to the point of being able to honestly say, I see that I cannot do this, I cannot eat this. And you want them to get to the point where they understand, I'm obviously overeating, so I have to cut down, right? Which gets them to weighing and measuring and so forth. So go through the dignity of choice in the same way. And then on page 3, it says, choosing specific foods to refrain from are trigger or binge foods. And now it starts to get specific. And it begins to talk about comfort foods, junk foods, chocolates, brand name foods, cookies, potato chips, sugars, desserts. You don't have this, right? You don't have the dignity of choice. I didn't give it out. We give this out, by the way. But it began to get expensive if I brought 50 of these to give out to everybody. But you, in the back table, you have a sponsorship kit. Is it free?
I'm pretty sure it's free.
This may be in there. Okay? So fats, butter, dairy, deep fried foods, pastries, pastas, breads, refined carbohydrates, wheat, sugar and fat, sugar fat, cakes, donuts, pies, ice cream, etc. So it gets very specific. And you're going through this with them. And this is getting them to now think about this. And the next section is behaviors. Compulsive eating behaviors to refrain from, it says. And it gives 14 examples in here. Eating until we're completely stuffed, rigidly restricting calories, having to finish whatever's on our plate, devouring our food, searching magazines, etc., etc. Good examples here. The main focus, of course, is on the food at this point for the normal binge eater. At this point, this is page 5 in here. You've now gone through some specific examples out of here. The next thing that comes in this pamphlet is examples of plans of eating. But we're not going to go there yet, because the next thing is, go to point 7 on page 1 in your handout. It says, after completing the study of the two pamphlets, have them do the 3-column ABC exercise, and with your help, establish a precise plan of eating. So this is something I devised many years ago. Sometimes it's called red light, green light, yellow light. How many people have done this 3-column exercise? All right, see a few hands in here. Go to page 5 in your handout, and you'll see the instructions. Page 5. Without a precise and honest plan of eating, we waste endless hours arguing with ourselves and ultimately give in to our own lie. Halfway down the paragraph, it says, construct a 3-column list of all the foods, everything that you commonly eat. Be very specific. Don't eat vegetable. Name the specific vegetable and how it's prepared. Don't say protein. Name the specific protein. Don't say sugar or candy. Say the specific candy bar. Say the Mallow cup or the whatever. Snickers was my thing. Wait, do they still make Snickers? I don't know if they still. Of course. Who said of course? Okay. We'll talk after the meeting. But that's the point. We want to be very specific. So specific ice cream, donut, cake, junk food, etc. Include condiments, table sugar, salt, sugar substitutes, those things in those colorful packages that for some people are big problems. Leave nothing out that you eat or drink. So column A. Column A is the alcoholic food list or the trigger food list, whatever you want to call it. Foods that you know in your heart of hearts are triggers for you. Foods that you often eat too much of. Foods that you never have just one of. Foods that you consciously or unconsciously turn to when your feelings are particularly unpleasant or pleasant. Foods that call to you. Now, we're asking them to do this, and remember now, you've spent probably, what, a week or two? Talking about, working them through the pamphlets, talking about the disease, getting some specific examples of what other people have trouble with. So they're ready to do this. You've talked to them about what you do and what your trigger foods are. So they're ready to do this right now. So that's column A, write all these foods. And that can be a very, very long list. It's likely going to be a long list. There may be 30, 40, 50 things on there, maybe. Then I suggest that you do column C, the yellow light column next. These are foods that clearly are not a problem for you, foods that you can take or leave, clearly not comfort foods. More often than not, you don't overeat them. So over in my column A, I would have the Snickers bars and the candy and the popcorn and the pizza and all the refined carbohydrates, because my thing is sugar and refined carbohydrates, and I do 3 meals a day, and that's what I've done since 84. 3 meals a day, no sugar, no refined carbohydrates. Column C, for me, that comes out the stupid vegetables. I personally have never overeaten broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, celery, any of that kind of stuff. There's some of you that have overeaten and can overeat any of those things. Understand that. But more often than not, think about more often than not when you're filling in these things. More often than not, that's not what you binge on. If you're going for the comfort food, if you're medicating your feelings, which is of course what compulsive eating is, you're probably not going to go for the broccoli and Brussels sprouts. You're going to go for something over in column A, because that's the medication that works the fastest. It's the most toxic. It's the most toxic food. It just bang. So for me, it's like Jack Daniels. One shot of Jack Daniels, man, I want another one. For me, pizza is over there. One piece of pizza, then, might as well start making the others, the rest of the pizzas. Column B is the sometimes yes, sometimes no. Foods that may or may not be. So you now have a long list from them of the three columns. And now you're ready to talk with them about, all right, let's talk about a food plan. Obviously, Jane, you need to not eat those foods in column A. And she or he is going to say, yes, they're going to agree. So that's the beginning of the food plan. And you're going to need to get to the talk about the structure, what is going to be best for them. I'm a 3 meal, some people are 3 meal, a lot of people are 3 meal a day, nothing in between. Some others do it a little bit different way. Sometimes there are medical things that you have to talk about. If there are medical issues where they might hypoglycemic or something, maybe where they need to eat more meals and smaller meals, etc. So you're ready to do a food plan. So back to page one. By the way, on my blog, I have a list, accumulated list of about 505 OA people, because I've done this exercise at multiple workshops, different places around the country when I do retreats. And so I accumulated the list, these three columns from more than 500 OAers, and I put it all in one place. So it's on my blog there. So you can go through and you can see the bottom line after you go through and you read all the A columns, and then you go through and you read all the B's, and you go through all the C's. Very, very clear propensities. Very, very clear. And it has to do with sugars and refined carbs and fatty and salty and all that stuff. But there are always exceptions for people. Always exceptions. So you're going to find stuff, you read that, you'll find stuff in column A, and you say, oh my God, how could anybody eat that? Because it's a problem for you doesn't necessarily mean it's a problem for somebody else, right? And you also, I'm going to take questions a little bit, but you also find that over the course of your abstinence, things can change columns. Big difference between alcohol and food, right? Alcohol is binary, it is or it isn't. With foods, there's emotional content and sometimes it changes over time. The really, really, really bad thing about getting old is that the road narrows, right? I have some personal experience in that. So, all right, down to point eight on page one. After a week or two of committing their food to you and following the plan, start them on the steps. So we're now ready. They're clean. They have gone through the OA rehab. They've gone through the OA rehab in this 2 to 3 weeks that you've been working with them. And they followed this food plan, right? And so they're ready to go. In theory, their mind is cleared, and they're ready to get to the serious stuff, also known as the steps, which is where the real action is. So next page, options for the questions. Now remember, we're just talking about only the first three steps here. Options for the questions for writing on the first three steps. All right, there's three options. You've got 30 questions in the back of the guide for sponsors. These 30 questions are excellent. They incorporate the big book, the OA 12 and 12, the AA 12 and 12, and some of the pamphlets that we've just talked about. Question four begins to get them into the big book, as I recall. Question four, reread the doctor's opinion in the AA big book. Write about the phenomenon of craving in your life, right? So we're now getting into reading the doctor's opinion, but by this time, it's going to be in English. They're going to understand what in the heck it was about, because it would not be in English if you read it when you first come in and have no idea. So I like the questions in this one. So that's one option. You can also use the 30 questions in the OA workbook for the first three steps. And you can another option, if you like, is the sponsoring through the 12 steps. Right? This happens to have all 12 steps, but you've got the first three steps where you've got questions in there. So remember now, I'm talking to a new sponsor who's totally confused and doesn't know where to go, how to start. We're giving them a simple way to start. Simple, methodical way to start and help. What I've found is a lot of sponsors that have been around for a couple of years sponsoring come back and do this workshop, and then they say, oh my God, now I understand why none of those people stuck around, right? So they convert to this process, and they find it works much better because it's just simple and straightforward and methodical. All right, I'm on page two now. Some key points here, general points. Suggest they don't deviate from their daily food plan once agreed on and committed. Make sure they understand, and you understand what page you're on. And agree on what you're going to do if they have to deviate. Is it going to be a call to you? Is it going to be a text to you? Is it going to be afterwards they tell you? Whatever it is, make sure that they understand that it is a commitment and you expect them to follow that unless you agree otherwise. Point 11, suggests they weigh and measure their food for now. Now I put for now in there. For now could be the most important phrase that you ever use with new people. Because nobody can ever envision themselves not having a donut or a piece of cake or whatever for the rest of their life. But if you say for now, then, well, okay. And if you say, well, remember, getting well is about learning a new way of eating, a new way of thinking, and a new way of believing, physical, emotional, and spiritual, so that you have to learn a new way of eating, and you need to learn the quantities that are right for you. And so weighing and measuring, for now, is part of the relearning process. So you can talk them into weighing and measuring, even though I've never met anybody that was anxious to weigh and measure. But if you say, for now, it implies that it's not for life. And it may not be, but some of us do weigh and measure for life. But so what? It's a day at a time. And so the for now is a important phrase. How much time have I got? 8 minutes. All right. Suggest they weigh only once a month. The only exception I ever make to that, if I'm starting with somebody who happens to be 500 pounds, a big guy usually, 400 to 500 pounds, and when he starts eating right, he's going to lose, he could lose 4, 5, 6 pounds a week for a while. I say go ahead and weigh yourself once a week, because when a guy's that big and he starts and he sees, oh my God, 7 pounds, it inspires. Right? Doesn't have the opposite effect. It inspires. And he keeps going. So eventually I'm going to ask him to go over to the once a month. But in the beginning, if you're coming from big, big numbers, sometimes it's inspirational to see what that scale says. Once a week. Not once a day or five times a day. Somebody the other day said, well, I do weigh twice a day. It was a woman. And I said, really? So anyway, another story. Suggest they make their three phone calls a day to other members. Strong suggestions. Help them get numbers if they haven't gotten numbers yet. Get them to go to as many meetings as possible. 15, by your example, begin demonstrating OA program principles. In other words, an example is worth 1,000 sermons, as everybody in this room knows. You are the example. You know, whether or not you like it, you become kind of their higher power for a little while. They are listening to you. They are following your example. So example is everything. Show them that you're living a day at a time. First things first, live and let live, let go and let God. No gossiping, no taking other people's inventories, etc. 16, remember that slips are learning experiences. Don't waste them. Have a sponsor do a slip inventory. Okay. Also emphasize that immediately admitting a slip to you empowers him to get started again. Important. We'll look at the slip inventory in a second, but just let me emphasize this point. If somebody slips, you need to tell them, all right, you're human and things happen. But we need to get right back on the horse. And the way to get right back on the horse is for you to tell me. Because it's very much like the first step, and they don't understand the paradox business, but fully accepting and admitting in the first step that I'm powerless empowers me to move forward and do something. Admitting the slip has the same paradoxical effect. It enables me to get back on the horse right now. If I don't tell anybody, and I kind of just sit in there with this stuff, you know what's going to happen. My disease is going to say, well, you know, and I have some more, and some more, and some more, and some more. And the next thing you know, I'm eating myself into oblivion, like the old days. So encourage them, tell them it happens, and if you just talk about it with me immediately, you'll be able to restart and get back on the horse. So the slip inventory, go over to page, I believe it's five again. Yeah, five again, look at the bottom of the page. Again, I said, don't waste a slip. Slips are learning experiences, right? The food is always the last to go, so inventory it first. Write down exactly what happened as if there were a video camera rolling. Right, so you, before you ever get to pick up the food, you've already had an emotional, spiritual binge, right? Thinking, feelings, compulsion, first bite, etc. So, you know, it all starts with the feeling. So, write down exactly what was happening. Before the food went, there was some emotional or mental problem. Go back several hours of the previous 24 hours. What feelings were you experiencing before the slip? Two, were you avoiding facing something? C, what lies did your disease tell you that you decided to believe? How did you decide that it was okay to eat? Lies like, just happened to have a list of 25 or 30 lies here, I think. You don't have it, but maybe I didn't put it in. I was looking at it last night and updating it, and I always hear new ones from time to time. But anyway, what lies? So these are questions that you ask them. Again, you're trying to help them understand that their eating is all about emotions. That in fact, before they decided it was okay to have that piece of cake or whatever it was, they were lonely, or they were angry, or they were, fill in the blank, resentful, or whatever it was that was there. So you help them to understand, because then they know that they can't do that again. They know that the next time their husband does whatever, they don't need to eat, that it's not going to make it any better. And in the interest of time, I only have about 4 or 5 minutes left. Down on the bottom, what physical actions are you ready to take? Physical actions means maybe you need to take something out of column B and put it in column A, right? Maybe that thing that you didn't think was a real problem set you off, like a whole grain, whole wheat bagel, right? That you thought was really, really healthy because all those other people were eating it, and you thought, well, you know, I don't think this is a big problem for me, and I've eaten these before. The next thing you know, you're saying, let's have another one of those, right? And so you decide, that's a physical action. Let's take it out of B and put it into A. What emotional actions are you ready to take? Like learning to keep my mouth shut the next time my boss says something or whatever. All right, oh, here's some of the lies that are on the next page. It's okay, you just have one. You can have just one. You haven't had any for a long time. Obviously, it's not a problem for you. All right. Now, in the interest of time, you've got the guide for sponsors is on page 6. That's just an outline of what's in there. On page 7, you have top 10 characteristics of effective sponsors, and this was out of a workshop way back in 99, a workshop where we actually worked on this and talked about and came up. You see it says top 10, but of course, me being Don, I put in 15. You find the same thing on my blog. If anything that says 10, it's going to be 15 or 11. So this is a valuable chart, right, in helping you. We don't have time to go through it this morning. By the way, we're going to have 20 minutes for Q&A after this. But Page 8 is tips on sponsoring. Live in your program to the best of your ability. Be honest and open. Realize your answer to questions and suggestions for recovery are in the literature, etc. Good stuff in here. And now, the last thing I want to just talk about is, there's the last three charts in here are about what to do when the person calls up and says, I want to eat, right? So there are three charts in here. If you look at page 9, this happens to be from a Baltimore area intergroup 2010 workshop. Questions to ask them. What happened just before these, the food thoughts, since it's the feelings that trigger the obsession? Compliment them for picking up the food before taking a bite. Say, put down the food just for now. Tell them to come up with a tool that would be most helpful at this time. Assess what is currently going on in their life. Ask them what they like best about their abstinence. Okay, number 6. Example, 2 days ago. Woman called me, had 2 years of abstinence, and said, I am totally 100% obsessing on that freaking ice cream in the freezer for my daughter's birthday or whatever. And I said, how long have you been abstinent? She said, about 2 years. And I said, what was it you liked best about your abstinence? And that question just flipped a switch. She says, oh my God, I loved it. I love it, etc. And guess what? She didn't have the ice cream. It just went away like that. That's the examples of some of the questions on here that can be useful. And on the next page, page 10 and 10, there's two OA pamphlets. One is called Before You Take That First Compulsive Bite. How many are familiar with this pamphlet? All right, several of you. Okay. There are 15 questions on there, just like the ones that I just showed you from the Baltimore area intergroup. And then on the bottom of the page, there's an OA card, Think First. And there's 11 questions on there. These are all questions to have in your repertoire. Have these ready. On my computer, somebody calls, I got a button that says, I want to eat, and I go to all these files. And that's why I asked the woman yesterday that question that I asked there. I went to that file, and I was just kind of going down through as she was talking, and I asked her about that. As a sponsor, a new sponsor, any sponsor, you're going to get these kind of calls. This is going to be the difference in really helping somebody or not, right? These kinds of things. So as a new sponsor, any sponsor, be prepared for the calls. Be prepared. Know what you're going to say. Have your script. Nothing wrong with a script. I'm scripted this morning. Nothing wrong with that. It's effective, and it's going to make you a much, much, much better sponsor. And of course, which means your own recovery is going to be that much stronger. Because we do this to stay, you know, I don't do this just to be wonderful. I do this because programs saved my life, and I need to pay it forward in order to keep the gift. I cannot hold on to this gift unless I keep paying it forward. So I'm paying it forward today, and I'm urging you to pay it forward. And I'm giving you some tools that may perhaps help some of you to pay it forward even better.
Thank you, Don. Thank you so much. We'll now open the floor to questions and sharing.